Blog Talk Radio. And welcome to Spirit Therapy Radio. That's my new intro song that I thought I would take for a test drive today. That is a song called Ike's Mood, and it's by the Visioneers. What a great name for a band. My name is Nicole Tomasini. I am a spirit therapist, and today we are talking about how good can you feel? How good can you possibly get to feeling good? So let's get right into it. Why not? Feeling good. Feeling good. Well, how do we feel good? We all know how to feel good, don't we? If you don't, that should be your top priority. And if you do, it should also be your top priority. It's what it's all about right now, people. We got 15 more days in this year of 2014 in our Lord. And whatever the year has been for you, it's been something, that's for sure. It hasn't been dull. You can call it what you will. But we got 15 days to assess what we've done and look at where we want to go. And most importantly, figure out how we can feel good all the time, no matter what is happening. That's what it's all about. And 2015 into 2016, we're going to move and groove, a lot of movement. I think we're ready. I really think we're ready. We may not know that we're ready, but I think a lot of us have a strong sense that we're ready. We're definitely somewhere different than we were in the beginning of the year or the same time last year. So that's improvement. And whatever you have gone through or endured or discovered or created, rejoice in that. Rejoice, rejoice, rejoice. And no matter how small, how big, it doesn't matter. The universe never sees size. So give it a good label. Give it a good name, whatever you've done. Maybe you learned how to sleep well, and maybe that's the only thing you accomplished this year. I mean, I know a lot of people that would take that over other things that they accomplished. But that brings me to a point of how good do you think it's possible that you can feel? And does there come a time when you've been feeling too good for too long and you're thinking something bad is probably going to happen? Because I have just been flying on this high place for too long. What's up? It's too quiet out there. And that, of course, is fear knocking on your door going, are you sure you want to leave me behind? Are you sure? Because, you know, I love to hang out with you. So you go, thanks a lot, fear. I'm sure you're not gone forever, but you're not ruling the ship. So convincing ourselves that feeling good all the time is not only possible, but our birthright, exactly what we came here to do. And we all know, if you can remember a time in your life when you have felt good, even when everything around you isn't necessarily perfect, that gives us a sense of accomplishment. And that is the mastery of oneself. So to be able to do it no matter what, because we're not living in a fairy tale land. This is real life and it's reality. And, you know, it can be hard. But it doesn't mean that being happy has to be hard. It's only hard if you haven't spent too much time thinking about how to be happy. Which I don't know what you've been doing if you're not thinking about how to be happy. That's what I came here to do. And I would imagine that you came here for the same thing. So let's get into some examples. I'm going to tell you some stories and go all around the world of feeling good so that you can find your avenue in. Well, let's set it up with the emotional scale. I agree with the idea that you can't jump too far. You can't go from some sort of despair into some sort of elation. And that's where the false happiness can feel when you know someone's just putting on the face. Yeah, everything's fine. Yeah, I'm great. Yeah, it's fantastic. You're like, you sure about that, buddy? Because it seems a little aggressive. That's not what I'm talking about at all. It's nothing that can be said. It's feeling. It's feeling good and feeling happy. So if we're in, let's start with the high place, because, you know, that's where we really want to be. And I'm assuming that a lot more of us are a lot higher than we used to be. So when you're feeling good, Abraham always says, milk it for everything it's worth. And so what does that mean? When we're feeling anything from hopeful to believing things are going to work out to trusting in the forces around you, trusting in yourself and the decisions that you've made, and then knowing, I know it's going to work out. It doesn't have to be here just for me so that I can prove to myself that it's good. I know it's coming. I know I'm doing. Obviously, that's the highest one, riding off of last week's talk about knowing trust. So when we're in any of those high-flying places, how do we milk it? How do we make the most of it? It's a good time for affirmations and for manifestation. It's a good time to revel in the things that you are excited about and make you feel good. So you're already feeling good, and then you look around and your brain is telling you all these other things that make you feel good. So there's more feeling good. So you're expanding your vortex of happiness when you do that. And when you do that, when you feel good, when you feel not so good is not so big. It's smaller. And if it is big, it's very obvious. And you're like, get me out of here right now. But it's easier to get back into the feeling good when you've really explored what it feels to feel good. So if you're having any kind of fear about, oh, I'm feeling too good, definitely address that immediately. Because why? Ask yourself why. Why can't I feel good all the time? Probably because somebody told you. Probably because that's been your experience that, you know, good only lasts for so long and then something happens. But that's the thing. I know it sounds like I'm going in circles, but I think this is the way to get to it, is that when you're feeling good, what was I going to say? Let's see. The deserving to feel good and convincing yourself to feel good. Yeah, I guess that's it. Just ask yourself the question, why can't I feel good? And fix those paradigms. Sometimes, you know, you can talk a long time about it, but that's really all it is. Just convince yourself somehow that you are part of Source and it is your birthright to feel good. And find any reason to be good, to feel good. But again, if you're feeling crappy, anything you do, depending on if you're still sitting in the crappy feeling, it's not really going to change your mind necessarily. It might, but anything from taking a walk to taking a shower or a bath, calling a friend, any of these things that you can do to snap yourself out of a weird feeling place, working out, anything where you're moving your body, because if nothing else, you're moving the chemicals around in your brain and you're getting more circulation to all parts of you. So that's really a surefire way. I was going to say sure water. I guess they're also trying to tell us that it's the bath and the shower that's also moving your body. It's moving the energy. So they really are good things, but you have to meet that halfway too. You have to go, all right, I'm feeling kind of crappy right now, and I'm having trouble fixing my thoughts to find any kind of good thing. I just keep going to like the things that are stressing me out. Every time I get out of one thing, I fall into another thing that makes me feel crappy. So what do I do? I think that's where everyone should have a box of tools that they go to. If the wrench doesn't work, try the saw. If the saw doesn't work, try the hammer. Do whatever you need to do. So, you know, take a walk, see if that happens. Choose one. And a lot of times it will snap you out. But if it doesn't, it's probably because some part of you wants to stay there. And maybe it doesn't necessarily have to be a bad thing. Like, you could want to stay there so that you can see what that is. Why is this really bothering me? And work it out. Work it out through talking it through. Maybe you don't get to the good feeling place immediately, but at least you're working things out. The city is so loud today. So loud, New York City. Anyway. So getting good at that, getting good at going from not feeling good, no matter how minor or severe, into where is at least the realm of feeling good from here. And that's the best place to practice, for sure, because that's how we choose discs. That's how we choose what vibration we're going to be on. You're at a crossroads. You're like, I'm on this plane. I want to be on that plane. So it's leaping. It's just trusting. It's something that gets you to, you know what, it's going to be all right. And you know what, I don't know how it's going to be all right, but I'm just going to not think about this thing right now and just whatever. The thing that helps me a lot is to trust in the vibration. I may not know how it's going to happen. I may not know if I'm doing all the things, quote unquote, that I can do or should be doing, but at least I trust in the vibration and I go, all right, I know I don't want to be in a crappy feeling place because that just brings more crappy. So why don't I just find something that is a happier place, because that's really what I want. That's how we get stuff done. That's how the world works for us, is to find the place that we want to be and stay there more often so that that becomes our normal, our norm. Hi, Krell. So nice to see you. It's another day above ground, he says. How can it not be a wonderful day? That's going general. That is, you can always find that place when you're feeling whatever you're feeling. You know what? I'm alive. And like Krell has been quite through the ringer lately and came through like a champ. He had a heart dis-ease, I'll put it that way. And, you know, he's here. And it does give you a different sense of life and what's important, doesn't it, Krell? Why don't you type in a little bit so we can tell the people? You know, you don't have to have a life-threatening experience in order to feel this way. But when you do have these experiences, the feeling good really does become so important, right? Because you also know you can't stress yourself out. Like, that's doctor's orders. Chill yourself, my friend. So no matter where you're coming from, you can always find that good place. Krell's typing in. He's going to tell us about that. So, and in the meantime, when annoying things happen, or even body scary things happen, how can we still feel good? Well, that's why we practice feeling good no matter what's going on. Because when we know that ground, we know how to feel good, we know all its nooks and crannies, then when we're not feeling good, it's easier to find. You can find some sort of flotation device because you've got a lot of it. You know where it lives. So, you know, in a situation where you can't freak out, freaking out is the worst thing you can do in any kind of like life-threatening experience. But if that's your strong root. So how do you find that chill out, that I'm cool, I'm all right, whatever this is all right. Look for it. Again, if you know where it lives, you can find it easier. And if nothing else fails, you know, jerk your chain like a dog on a leash and just, okay, don't look at that right now. Look over here, pretty flowers in the meadow, like that. Krell says, absolutely. I went from 10,000 feet to sea level. A clarity that removes the fog. I survived a widowmaker, and I've never felt better. Well, not as good as high school, but you know what I mean. That's really wonderful. I knew I wouldn't get arrested. I knew I wouldn't get arrested. I would kiss every pretty girl I see on the street. Oh, if I knew I wouldn't get arrested. I would kiss every pretty girl on the street. That is great. And that's that feeling of feeling good, because you know it's the most important thing. It really is the best work you can do. And that's one of the things that I had to convince myself of is, why feel good? Why do I get to feel good all the time? And what was I going to say? Oh, it's so funny. Probably laws against that, though. Against going around and kissing every pretty girl on the street. Well, maybe if you had a pass, you know, you'd be like, I just had a heart attack. I it's your community service for the moment. Kiss me. But I guess my point was the appreciation of all these things that we can, that going through this darkness can show us. Oh, I can't remember what I was going to say. It's funny. And I keep looking at the not feeling good as when you're in high school. But I think also we have to be happy in the transition times and be happy realizing, okay, you know, I'm not in pain. I'm not 6 feet under. I may not be in my tip top, but I'm good. I am good. And I think that's more natural. I don't think we're always going to, at least not anytime terribly soon, going to find where we're always happy, 100% happy. I think that's that like weird happy where everybody's like, I'm great. That's where that lives, because it's not real. So if we can call happy a wide spectrum, and also a feeling healthy and feeling rejuvenated as a wide spectrum. I mean, the body's doing whatever it's doing, aging well, not well, whatever. But the way we're feeling about it and being happy with it is really the most important thing. I think that's what I was going to say earlier, is that this feeling good, it's really the most important work that you can do, because that's how you live the life that you want to live. And that's where the things that you're desiring live. And that's where the divine in you lives. Spirit will never meet you anywhere down there. And that's why feeling bad feels so bad, because we're really doing it to ourselves with thoughts, and then the emotion backs it up, and then we go into this loop. So you know, when we're in that loop, I keep missing my train of thought. Isn't that so funny? I think that happens when we're in this place of figuring it out. Now I see what I was talking about. That when we're not at tip top, we're not at our 100%, but our 50% is great. Like, as long as we're even just in this vicinity of feeling good, I think we're doing a really good job here. And also that we're still in transition. It's still totally new energies that we have and we're working with. We're learning. We're getting there. But, you know, you lose your train of thought. You have a little hiccup. You get the flu. You have, you know, a slight heart attack. You know, there's a spectrum of things, adjustments. I mean, a couple years ago, my mother, one of my close friends, and like four other people within a two-month span all had strokes. And it was like, you know, the stroke epidemic. I was like, what is going on with this, like, metaphysically? And the stroke is really about opening up the brain and stopping things, too much thinking. And every single one of these people that I know that had a stroke do way too much thinking and housing of information in the brain like it's a storage cabinet and need to be able to find every single fact. And, you know, it the energy and your body was like, okay, we need a total readjustment here. So that's what happened. And some were easier to deal with than others. My mother, who's 82 years old now, you would think the older was harder, but it really wasn't. She actually had one of the most mild cases. So, again, you know, it's not necessarily about age. I think it's more about vibration and how we can recover as fast as we want or as well as we want. Doesn't always have to be fast for it to be going really well. I've noticed that about myself. Some things just take me longer. Yeah, I can move fast. I'm an Aries. I'm all about fast. But sometimes I'm finding more and more fast is not always the best way, especially when it comes to the body. You know, you can feel better in a heartbeat if you take some of this medicine, but then are you feeling better still tomorrow or do you have to take it again? Or, you know, can you sort of, you don't want to suffer through it, but just sort of relax into it. All right, I'm not going to feel good for a day or two or three. But maybe my body needs to go through this. Maybe my body needs to just, you know, being able to relax into those moments where our physical doesn't feel good. You're really healing yourself and your body, you're giving your body the time to do what it needs to do. And then it's stronger. And then your immune system goes, yeah, man, we're in tip-top shape. We work out. Krell says, life presents so many choices and decisions that have to be made. A near death clears out that list in a way. Well, the chalkboard is wiped clean because the priority of life clarifies the quote-unquote food chain. Interesting. Or maybe it's just the drugs. Who knows? Whatever works. Really, whatever works. And isn't that interesting? You know, learning how to relax into what's going on clears away a lot of the things that are really unnecessary. And we think, you know, it's like, what is there, a prize, a carrot at the end of this road? Like, I don't need that. That is not important. So, you know, again, we can all learn from Krell and his experience and but we don't have to go through that. And that's another reason why feeling as best you can in a truthful manner is a really good idea because then our bodies can just come along with us. We don't need like a shocker. But it doesn't have to be in the body. It can also be life can hit us with shockers all the time. So again, stable foundation of feeling good, Hello, Healing Paradigms. Nice to see you. We have a caller. Let's see if they're calling to talk or calling to listen in. Area code 443. You're on the air.
It's Arlene. I'm just calling to listen in.
Oh, wonderful. Hi, Arlene.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. I'm so glad that you're here. I was thinking about you when I was putting this together. It was something that you had an online seminar about the romantic love, dispelling the myth.
Oh, yeah, dispelling the myth, the radio show. Yes, yes, yes.
That goes right along with this topic of like feeling good and like letting go of the pressure, right?
Right, so. Right. Yeah.
Tell a little.
That was a lot of fun. Yeah, I enjoyed the subject.
And I'm sure I couldn't make it, which I wasn't thrilled about. But tell a little bit about the feeling good and the romantic love, if you wouldn't mind.
Okay. Well, what we talked about was that how for women the whole idea about romantic love was surrounded by things that we were taught in the media from the time we were children. We were like fed this idea of the fairy tale romance like Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs and Sleeping Beauty or Cinderella, and how we're looking for this prince to come and wake us up from this sleep or come searching and looking for us. And how that matures up until, matures with romance novels, with the paradigm shifting a little bit, where some people pursue like the older, the brooding, mysterious, dark and mysterious, the stranger, tamed by the woman's love, and how this is also perpetuated in media with love stories. And for men, the it's different. They're taught about competition, and it's the men kind of thumping on their chests and being more exceptional than the other man, that men have this competition with one another. And so they're looking for the best option and being in competition with other men and outdoing the other guy. So pretty much what we talked about was that the truth or the real meaning behind this dispelling the myths had more to do with it had more to do with why is it that we are attracted to the people that we're attracted to. And the truth of the reason why we get together is because that individual is coming in to help heal you or help you to be, help you to see yourself and to see those things that you don't necessarily like. And it's almost as if they're built in to push those particular buttons in you in order to heal those issues that may have come up during childhood. And so especially for those individuals who continue on with that particular pattern of, all men act the same or all women act the same. Well, no, truly that's not actually the case. You have to, the one variable that remains the same is yourself. And so because it is, since that's the case, that you're the one variable that remains the same, then you really have to start looking at you and developing a better relationship with yourself and understanding where it is that those things that need to be healed so that you can shift that particular paradigm of attracting somebody that's not necessarily what you're wanting. Mm-hmm. So I would say that for the subject matter that you have for the show, how it's related is really about getting to understand who you are and what brings you joy and what makes you feel loved, and getting that opportunity to sort of focus in on yourself instead of looking for external places to get that good feeling from somebody else, because no one else is responsible for your happiness other than yourself. You know, you have to get to happy before you're able to, you know, exemplify that or express that out in the world.
And attract that.
Yes, and attract that.
Yeah.
You have to be that in order to attract it.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow. That's exactly how I found where I was attracting, you know, you have three boyfriends that are all the same. You go, now, wait a minute. I mean, to the extreme of one was from Texas and one was from Italy, and they were the mm-hmm. same dude. I was like, okay, this is a problem. So, but thanks to them, they showed me how they weren't the first two, and they weren't really the last, but it was really the most glaring example of what I was attracting because of the way I was feeling about myself, and also paradigms that my parents or people around me had created. Of course, I'm sure the media had a big play in that. Same thing with that romantic love, the brooding.
Mm-hmm.
It, you know, all of these guys were the brooding, dark, mysterious type, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So you think there's a whole lot going on behind there, but not necessarily. And not necessarily anything you want to know about. So, you know. So getting through that and then going through, and now it's like, okay, you know, less and less of the things that I didn't want. And it's really because of fixing myself. I didn't want to do that anymore. And I think, you know, if you're thinking about, all right, what are these myths of romantic love and why am I not happy and why am I attracting these same things? Just asking yourself those questions is the greatest start you can do,
because mm-hmm.
the patterns
mm-hmm.
are there. You just have to see them.
Yeah. And actually being okay with understanding that, you know, that you have to sort of look at your past, because I've run into quite a few people who aren't happy when in the past, when I was a little less tactful, I would smack them in the head with that particular, you know, with the pattern that I was seeing within them. But getting them to, you know, talking them into or asking the question of, well, where did this, you know, you notice that this particular pattern is showing up in your relationships and you're unhappy about it. So where do you feel that this started? I think that is an absolute beautiful way of being able to address it, with, you know, taking a good look at what particular paradigm or, you know, reality are you experiencing, and where did that experience originate from? Sometimes it does go back to childhood, and sometimes it may be a little bit of a recent thing. But being able to address that and be honest about that, because, you know, that whole self-discovery thing, that really is about taking ownership of your frame of mind, the frame of mind and line of attraction, and not everybody is quite there yet, but, you know, I think as we, you know, go further along and people continue to grow spiritually, it'll give them the opportunity to make those shifts that they're really looking to make.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Mhm. Wow. we have another caller, so I'm going to open up the mic here to 918. Are you calling to chat or to listen?
Oh, both, probably. This is Krell.
Oh, hi, Krell. Wonderful. Nice
How are you
to
doing?
See you. Good, good. I was just going to say about you that, you know, I've never met Krell, but I do feel like it's amazing how close you can get to people who are just your Facebook friends. And you seem to have this beautiful relationship with your wife, Morgan, and I wanted to know if, you know, you would add to our conversation of feeling good and being with other people.
Oh, we're sort of, I don't know, we're a lot alike. We complement each other in our different interests, but we're like two traveling loci that have run across each other and sort of joined up.
That's a good way of putting it.
yeah, we both have our dry sense of humor and little quirks that complement each other, so it's true love.
Nice. Such a beautiful thing to see. Like, you can see it. You know when people are kind of faking it and just smiling for the picture on Facebook, or when there's like really something beautiful going on, right? I mean, it's hard to hide these days.
Plus, she found someone that puts up with her chickens, so that's a good thing.
She has pet chickens?
Yes, we do. As a matter of fact, we got 5 roosters right now, and it is amazing how prompt they are at 5:30 in the morning.
Well, all together, like a chorus?
it's like a, well, I don't know if I would call it a chorus, more like a transmission that just exploded.
Walk, walk.
Yeah, one of them, they have the possibility of being somewhat in key, but when you have 5 of them, and they're all competing
for the note,
Top Gun, I guess, and they're all off key with each other, it produces these strange harmonics that just seem to travel quite a ways.
Wow. Like Arlene was saying about, strutting their stuff. It's like an example of the, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Exactly.
So Krell, tell us a little bit about, how you found the feeling good, or whatever you want to add.
Oh, I've always sort of had a good outlook on life, but, sort of probably a little bit giddy beyond what I would actually should be. But, I just had this recently, this heart attack that, I was really lucky to survive, even to make it to the hospital. But, I was 10 hours before I actually went into the hospital, and it was a type of heart attack that normally you're not supposed to last more than 10 minutes.
Wow.
So I felt very lucky, and I didn't seem to have any heart damage or anything like that. And matter of fact, when I was in the hospital, I had several doctors come by that weren't involved in my case, just to sort of, I guess, gawk at me a little bit and say, "You survived," that type of thing. But
wow.
Anyway,
yeah,
I feel
okay,
great.
You were. That's absolutely awesome. You were a medical mystery to them.
Yes,
I think that's an awesome thing.
Totally.
Yeah. I think it's a good thing, concerning the outcome or the possibilities other ways. But yeah, it's a good thing. Of course, the medical bills aren't so good, but every rose has its thorn, I guess, right?
Right. That's the world confusion, just, that's still lingering. So whatever, right?
Yeah, the bills are the enema of life. So anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, showing doctors what's possible, and I think that's what a lot of us can be chosen to do, is to show, okay, so far you think that this is the only thing that's possible. You've got 10 minutes, but I just showed you that 10 hours is possible. And, so, and even with the stroke that, like my mother at 80 having a stroke, I mean, it really took her 2 weeks to basically be like back to normal, and then like a few months.
Wow.
Yeah. That's so,
crazy.
It just shows us that feeling good is really what it's all about, because our body responds to that, and cells and everything feels the energy of feeling good, and all our body takes commands from our feelings and from our thoughts. What are we doing right now? And it depends on what we're telling ourselves. I mean,
absolutely. The way that your mind is thinking, and it's state of feeling has a tremendous amount of effect on your body. I give, for example, the some of the religions where they feel that there's voodooism and where they have the sleeping dead, and even though you know it may not be where they actually give them anything, any kind of poisons or anything like that, just the fact that they believe it, and if someone has put a curse on someone, they can believe it so much that they can actually cause their body to fail.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. True. Yeah. Yes, very true.
Yeah, so
if you have that much power over your body's destruction, you certainly have that much power over your body's healing.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And so were you, what was your fear factor in those 10 hours? Like, how did you work
well,
with that?
Well, you know, I know it's probably the male thing of denial, but up to the point I was being strapped down in the gurney and put in the ambulance, I was saying, just give me a few more Tums. I swear it's heartburn. Come on, just a few more Tums and I'm out of here. But when I was riding in the ambulance and, you know, it was the sirens and the lights and all that stuff, and they were giving me, I guess, the nitroglycerin or whatever, you know, that vascular dilator that will help out your heart until they can get you in the hospital. Mm-hmm. Well, when they were asking me how I felt every 3 seconds, that's when it sort of clicked that, you know, maybe something going on. And they said my heart vital signs were changing about every mile as we were going to the hospital. So
wow. Interesting.
Yeah.
Wow.
I was still making jokes and stuff. And, yeah. So,
well,
anyway.
That's an interesting point when, you know, to begin with, you went with the best possible scenario. You know, give me a couple Tums and, you know, let me pass this chili that I just ate, you know.
Yeah, but you know, it dawned on me in the ambulance ride, really, the seriousness of it. And you know, it was funny, it was raining just cats and dogs at the time, and you know, the rain was pounding on top of the metal roof of the ambulance, and you know, it was, I was really sort of zeroing in on that sound, and I thought, well, is this going to be the last sound that I hear of my life, you know, this sort of melody that's being played with the rain pounding on the roof. But yeah, it definitely opened my eyes to some things, and you know, I'm have a lot of gratitude to, you know, whatever gods that looked down upon me and said I got a few more days left. So
yeah, was that comforting, that sound of the rain?
Yeah, it was in a way. It, you know, I'm not saying that I was able to like center on that and develop strength, but you know, it, I think it took away from the beeps and the bings and all the stuff of the instruments and the ambulance and you know, the medical technicians rushing around and asking me all the questions as we're going. You know, it sort of perhaps took me to a different state of being. And
yeah.
Instead of panicking, you know, that's the thing is you don't want to panic and develop a racing heart when you're having a heart attack.
True.
For real.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So
I guess
calm.
I didn't think about little soft kittens or anything, so maybe the rain helped out.
Yeah, whatever works.
Whatever works, exactly. But I was in the hospital for 3 days, and I had an excellent nurse that would come by and give these little impromptu classes in medicine and everything that I ask, because I'm always real curious about everything, so I'll ask questions about the chemical composition of some particular statin drug, or you know, what does this machine do, and you know, they could improve it with this if you only did that. And so
wow, interesting.
Yep. And once I got out, I was out for couple weeks from work, but you know, I did some carpentry around the house and sort of replaced the ceiling that needed some work. So
That's great. Do Jesus's work.
I can't just stand still and not do anything, you know. It's
yeah.
in my blood.
Wow.
So.
Yeah, like knowing yourself and knowing your own healing, you know, what do you need? Like some people just, you know, you see how people even get over colds. Some people say, all I need to do is put on 5 layers of clothing and just sleep it out.
Yeah.
And, you know, others need some fresh air, maybe 20 minutes out, or, you know, I do like this whole barrage of just like vitamin C, chicken soup, mm-hmm. like every possible and heat.
Well, everybody knows their body and they know what works and what doesn't work. And the thing is to keep an open mind so that you don't get in a sort of a mindset about something that, you know, maybe look at some different things and see if that works. And
yeah.
you know, keep an open mind about it. But everybody knows their own body, you know. By the time you're my age, you know every single wrinkle on your face and every sagging whatever. So
I'm loving it, right? I mean, like, we have to learn how to love it. I think that's also destroying those paradigms of, you know, everybody needs
yeah,
to look like
yeah.
airbrushed whatever, you know.
Well, and don't buy any magnifying mirrors. That's
yeah, no. Never, not ever. Yeah. Even a 15-year-old doesn't want those.
No kidding. Yeah.
Too close.
Too close. What's that for? Oh, my God.
Yeah. We are animals at the end of the day, you know. Well, yeah. Wow. Well, that's great. I mean, I think listening to story of you know, it's extreme, the near-death experience, but we can all apply that to anything that's going on. You know, just the first step, don't panic. And whatever you do to not panic, you know, I just keep thinking, you know, don't think of a pink elephant. So if you're thinking, don't panic, you can kind of freak yourself out, but...
Yeah.
Learning
yeah.
how you
yeah.
do that, you know, how do you go, okay, what's my relaxation? And I think that's what meditation's all about. Meditation is your training so that, you know, when the shit hits the fan in life, you go, okay, where's that center? Oh, there it is. You don't have to scramble and look for it. It's too late if you're scrambling and looking for it in the moment. So it's just good inner training.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've always been sort of good about focusing on things, and it sort of reminds me of another story. My parents, they used to take us when we were little kids. Used to take us to the drive-in, and you know they would put us in the pajamas and throw us in the back seat, and you know they'd have usually two movies. One would be a kids movie, and another one would be more like a more grown-up movie. So they took us to the drive-in, and the second movie was this Bette Davis movie called Hush, Hush, Sweet Charlotte.
Mm.
And, oh, it was just absolutely terrifying. You know? And, of course, I wasn't asleep because, you know, I was a kid and I'm not going to be told when to go to sleep. So I'm watching this movie and it has these horrible scenes and everything. And then afterwards, for about a couple of weeks, I would have night terrors, you know, nightmares. And I would wake up and, you know, in the movie, they had this one part where they chop off a hand and I wake up and I thought, you know, one of my hands is chopped off and all this stuff. And so what I did eventually was I started thinking about, well, right before I go to sleep, if I start thinking about a different subject completely, you know, I'd try to steer where my nightmare was going. Maybe I'd diminish it. And then from there, I kept on and kept on. And pretty soon I could actually direct my dreams. You know, it got to a point where I could actually be aware inside the dream that I was dreaming. And I could sort of walk around and steer it where I wanted to go. And I eventually was able to change those nightmares into dreams that actually were quite pleasant, you know, like
wow.
one where I could fly and another, you know, I could just do all sorts of different things. And I just kept up with it for months. And you know, eventually I guess it's called lucid dreaming, but
mm-hmm.
you have to be quite good at it.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Isn't that, that's a perfect example of choosing a better thought and what it can do for you. Just choose something else.
On one side, Bette Davis chopping off hands. The other side, flying clouds. It was a tough
come on. Yeah, come on. Yeah, I mean, that is really what it's all about. I think all the time, even when somebody is annoying and doing something annoying, you're like, wow, this is so annoying. All of this that you're saying and doing is ridiculous. But you still just go, well, can I laugh at it? Like, can I make this into a comedy about how ridiculous this is happening? You know, choose something yeah. that's a little more enjoyable. And then you can lucid dream in life. Amazing.
Well, the comedy of the absurd.
Yeah, right.
So, yeah.
Arlene, what yeah. do you do when, like, you know, if well, I'm looking for a better way to say when the shit hits the fan. That's what I mean. You know, what what are your tools and guides for not freaking?
I would say there isn't very much that I freak out about. I do have my moments when I'll say that my experience gets a little muddied up by some, you know, some really low vibrational BS. So I go ahead, if it has actually affected me, I go ahead and just allow myself to feel the feelings, and then I just sort of ask myself, I'm like, okay, so this thing has really kind of annoyed and pissed me off. Exactly what is this reminding me of that I, you know, that I need to heal? Because my thinking has been that if it's bothering me enough that I just let it affect my person like that, that something's looking to heal. So sometimes when I am that aware to go ahead and do that, I will do some EFT, or if I'm not feeling the mood to feeling like I'm in the mood to do that, I will listen to music that's really inspirational, that, you know, that I find that kind of redirects my thinking. There have been sometimes I will take a walk, do meditation, or I will, you know, periodically just call up a friend or associate of mine and just say, okay, this is what's going on. This is what I want you to say. And I want you to say it with enough conviction that, you know, or say it with enough, you know, energy and force that, you know, that it makes sense to me. Because, it, you know, a lot of times I'm just in those particular moments, I know what needs to be said or what I need to hear. And then they give me their own version of what it is that I've asked them to do.
Wow, that's a very interesting way of doing it. Because hearing it from somebody else's head, like you're like, okay, I know this is the place that I need to be and want to be. So you explain this to me. I realize I've done the same with friends, but not so like clearly cut. You know, I'll say, I know that this is what I want to feel, and I know that this is what's happening, but what's really happening? And then they can reflect it back to me. And mm-hmm. And then it's like, ah, yes, okay, thanks. Like, sometimes you just need that other head. To fill in the
yes.
blanks.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a good one, because when you can find what's annoying you, and when you're listening to these, to the music, or you're taking a walk, or all those things, are you still, I mean, I would imagine you're human, but maybe you found something that I don't know about, are you still having the conversation in your head about, this is annoying me, what do I do? This is annoying me, what do I do? That's what happens in my head. Or are you, can you let it go, like in that moment?
In that moment, all I'm looking for is the lighter frame of mind. Hmm. See, because the thing that's really, it isn't like a cookie cutter thing for me, where like maybe music may work for me one day, but then another day the music will kind of get on my nerves. So it's, I will say, It just sort of depends on the mood that I'm in. But what tends to happen is, like, say, for instance, for the music, it's really about getting, I really get that sense or get a feel for the vibration of the music.
So you tune in to what you're doing
Focus. I just let the vibration of the music just sort of resonate with me and just work through that energy and transmute it from what it has been. There are a lot of times when, like, music with words don't necessarily work so well, so I will use, like, what is it? You know, like what you would consider like vibrational, like new agey type music.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, change the vibe. So, yeah.
Yeah, to, you know, especially anything that's like above like 500 hertz. Mm-hmm. You know, so anything that, you know, again, it really sort of depends on the day or what's been said, or because it changes from time to time. It's not a cookie cutter experience for me. So whatever works, just to get myself to that, to a higher vibration that I was at. Sometimes
yeah.
I can actually just talk myself there too. There've been a few times I've talked myself there. I do recall this one time where I had borrowed a book. I had borrowed these books from a person who was a healer. And anyway, before I had moved away from Michigan, I had my mother mail the books to her. Well, my mother mailed it and wrapped it up so well that I guess somebody at the post office thought, well, this must be something really good. She's wrapped it up so neatly and so tightly. So the books got stolen, and they never arrived at the person who I borrowed it from. So I called her up, and I said, well, you know, I don't know what happened. My mother mailed it out, but apparently it got stolen. And then she tells me, well, you know what? Every time I loan out a book, I always have this experience of, you know, somebody stealing it.
Wow.
And I'm thinking about, I was like, wow, that was just some powerful, you know, creation that you did there. And I'm thinking to myself, I would have never bought the, I never would have borrowed the book if I had known that that was something that you always had out there. And but her thinking was that if they stole the book, that they really needed it and that it would transform their lives. And I recall she was like, well, it would cost like, I forgot the number, but it was over $100. It cost me this much for the course when I took the class. And I was thinking to myself, it was just like, I was so upset to be a part of that process. But I went ahead and I got the money together, and I'm like, you know, I'm sitting there in the car and I'm saying, okay, I know that I was a part of this co-creative process and the book got stolen. And, you know, she's a healer. She was helping me out with loaning me these books. And I really don't want to send this money to her with that type of energy and resentment on it. Let me, you know, in the whole frame and scheme of things, it is okay that the books got stolen. Obviously, maybe the person, you know, if that was her intention, maybe it has actually transformed their lives, or it will transform their lives. But her being an energy healer, I do not want to send it with this, you know, this amount or this level of resentment. And I talked myself into what I considered like a lighter place. I wasn't completely okay, but compared to where I was, it was a much better place. So what happened was she went ahead and she mailed I received the check back, or at least part of the check back, minus the amount that she got for the book. And she says, oh, Kathy went ahead and let me copy her version of the spiral bound book, but I subtracted the amount of the book that I could actually get from the author. Here is a refund of X amount of dollars. You know, thank you very much. Thank you. You know, and I was thinking to myself, I was like, oh, okay. It was a real lesson. Lesson for me there.
Yeah, because also you don't know what somebody else is creating. You know, if they have this idea that this is what's going on, then this is what they're going to create no matter what you're thinking, as well as books getting stolen. I mean, if anybody can read a book in any way, I mean, a lot of times they say when you finish a book, part of the energy of a book is it shouldn't sit on your shelf. It should circulate. It should go. It should go to whoever is interested. I always think that when I, quote unquote, lose something. I mean, mm-hmm. I bought a new Metro card and I took one swipe and 10 minutes later, I was like, where's the card? And I just bought, it was $20. I was like, come on, man. And it took me a while to be able to go, okay, I hope somebody found it. I'm going to go ahead and assume that somebody that really needed this found it. Because I've found those before, so I know it's possible. So go ahead. Mm-hmm. And, universe, I'm down $20, so I would like you to turn that into $20,000. And I will take it in any form, you know, maybe in the next 2 or 3 months. That's what I'm saying. You know, I will let this go, but that's what I would like as well. How about that? Mm-hmm. Keep it circulating, you know. So
does that work?
Well, let's see. It only happened a couple weeks ago. I gave it until February or March.
More time.
Yeah. I will let you know.
I'm coming over to your house.
Exactly.
Losing some cards.
Exactly. So, you know, you can choose anything. Choosing the best thought and convincing yourself that that's true is definitely the best way to go. I'm glad you guys called in because, you know, we're in the recording time, but the others in the archives will hear us. And, I guess anything to close with? Krell?
No words of wisdom. Just,
Gave them already.
I don't have anything. I'm blank.
That's great. Blank is
I'm
good.
I'm in the zone. I'm just looking up.
I'll take that because, you know,
right.
When you're thinking bad thoughts, the best thing to think is no thought. Look for no thought. Just that. That's a really good mental.
That was the audible sound of someone with drool hanging out of their mouth.
Right.
That's not me, though. I swear.
When you do that in your brain, you know, any kind of you can get where there's just nothing but the silence of the void, which for some reason I just think of as a hum. That's the best my vocal cords can do. But anyway, any distraction, even like the nothingness, I think that's a good centering point, really, is finding the nothingness, you know. And Arlene, any closing thoughts on how people can feel good?
I would say just keep experimenting. Anything and everything that you've ever thought of that you thought you might do or you would like to do or, you know, or just go out and just experiment to because it's a vast world out there, you know, a vast world out there with amazing experiences that, you know, that are ready for you to partake of. So, you know, go ahead and work yourself. You know, any idea that has come to your head, just go ahead and go for it. You know,
nice.
Because you know, this is your life, your stage, what you know, your creation. So go ahead and make it an outstanding play.
Absolutely, follow your excitement and follow your bliss and follow your
mm-hmm.
impulses when you're feeling good. Absolutely. And that wonderful
mm-hmm.
satisfaction that you get when you go, I'm going to do this. And then you go and you
mm-hmm.
do that. You're like, yeah, man, I totally just did that, like on my own, just like that. I'm going to go see this orchestra. I'm going to buy myself a ticket. And that feeling is what it's all about, following whatever random excitement. Absolutely. That's a great closing thought. All right. Well, thank you, Krell. And thank you, Arlene, for joining me on this feel good train. And check out spirittherapynyc.com for all your spirituality needs. And we'll see you next week. I had a song to play, but I think I'm going to save it till next week. It's Michael Bublé doing the feeling good. So, well, I think this end of the year is all about feeling good. So we will see you next week, okay. And have a great one. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Much blessings. Love. Blessings. Very nice.